Wel met zie je dat nun bees, amut alef en amut bet. Master your grievances. Ein lo alav ela taromet. When we see the incredibly high standards of self-mastery that the Torah requires of us, it inspires one with an enormous sense of pride that we're actually capable of this, that Hashem actually requires us of every Jewish person. That's how much Hashem thinks of us and of our capacity to master ourselves and to take control of our lives and of our actions and of our thoughts and even of our feelings. The Mishnah says on Nun Bet Amud Aleph, we're talking about a situation where an individual buying something from another gives him currency that is flawed. So it's a fake currency, or in those days it was a coin that was damaged, and it's not proper currency. So among the currency, he pays him 100 coins for the item, and one of the coins is damaged. The seller wants to recover the damaged coin or cancel the deal, again, depending on how big the loss is through not having the coin, along the lines that we've been discussing up until now. Im haya makira, if the seller comes to the buyer and shows him the coin and says, do you remember giving me this coin? And he says, I do. I remember giving you that coin. Then afilu la'achar 12 chodesh mekabla himena. Even if it's a year old, this deal took place a year ago, he still has to receive the coin back and replace it. Ve'en lo alav ela taromet. All he can have is what in South Africa you call a faribel. All you can have is, you can have a grievance. You can be upset with him that he didn't do it earlier, that he didn't come, that he didn't bring it up earlier. It's a year later, and now he comes. Tough. You've still got to exchange it, even though. And all you do is ein lo alav ela taromet. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter asks a question on the Mishnah, and the question of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. We've spoken about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. There's no way that I can explain to you, or even I can begin to understand the greatness of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. It's beyond greatness as a human being, greatness as a master of Torah, a master of authenticity, both in terms of the Torah he taught and of his being, just an angel of a human being. And one of his great Talmidim was Rabbi Itzler Petterberger, Rabbi Itzler from St. Petersburg. Rabbi Itzler Petterberger is also sometimes known as Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer. He was one of the three great Talmidim of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. I knew Rabbi Itzler Petterberger's daughter. Rabbi Itzler Petterberger's daughter was my Rosh Yeshiva's mother, and I knew her very well in her old age. Rabbi Itzler Petterberger wrote a small sefer called Netivot Or, which describes Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, a beautiful sefer to get a sense of who Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was when one reads Netivot Or. In Netivot Or, he brings, as an aside, the kasha that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter has on this Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah say, Ein lo alav ela taromet, and all he can have is a grievance? Why are we dealing with grievances? Why doesn't the Gemara just say, you have no claim? You've got to pay back the money. You've got to give the person, replace the damaged coin. Finished. Whether or not you have a grievance is something which will happen in any case. You'll either have a grievance or you won't have a grievance. Why does the Mishnah have to say halakhically all you're entitled to is a grievance? Is a grievance an entitlement? Is that something you have to have legal entitlement to? What does it mean? Which is an obvious kasha. And this phrase comes up several places in Shas and in Bava Metzia itself. Explains Rabbi Yisrael Salanter as Rabbi Itzler Petterberger presents it, an unbelievable concept. Rabbi Itzler Petterberger says, in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, we see it just so happens this morning, I happen to be learning a piece of Tomer Dvorah, which is Rabbi Moshe Kardavira, that's the Rebbe of the Ari and of the Reish Chochma, going back to the earlier days of Tzfat, and the Chovas Halvovas, Arishon. Happen to be learning these two pieces. And since I learned these two pieces, and they linked into this piece of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and our Mishnah, I realized I have to share this with you. There's a reason why this is all coming together in the early hours of this morning. That's an example of when I talk about the freshness of the learning, that just as bread has to be baked the same day, so the Torah that one learns and teaches has to be today's Torah, not yesterday's Torah. So there's some reason, and I'll tell you the reason at the end, why I need to share this with you. The Talmud Dvorah says, just as Hashem accepts a Baal Tshuva, you do something terribly wrong and you repent properly, you regret it, you have remorse, you except never to do it again. Hashem not only accepts that, but b'mokom shebali tshuva imdim ein tzadikim gemurim yicholim la'amud, Hashem regards you as even higher than if you had never sinned in the first place. That's how Hashem embraces teshuvah. And the chovas, and therefore the term advora says, the theme of the term advora is how we have to emulate God's attributes. And so we too, when somebody does something wrong against us and apologizes genuinely, we have to embrace that person as not only as if he never did it, but even better than that. He's, consider him even a closer friend than if he had never done it in the first place. That's what the Torah expects of us. And the Chovas Halvova says as well, when somebody apologizes and you believe that it's a genuine apology, you've got to forgive him and let it go. And you've got to remove from your heart any grievance you have against him. We have that capacity. We're able to do that, to let go of those grievances. And you know what they say about a grievance? It's like drinking poison, hoping that you're going to damage the other person. A grievance only hurts you. It doesn't hurt the other person. And the Chovas Halvova and the Talmud Dvora talk about how we have the capacity to let go of grievance. Based on that, says the Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, so in a situation where somebody's done you wrong and apologized, you do what you're supposed to do, you forgive the person. Later on, the grievance creeps back into your heart. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that's like a situation where somebody owes you money, and you forgive it, you forgo it, you say to you, you know what, you owe me $1,000, it's okay, forget it. And then you carry on resenting the fact that you never got the $1,000. And eventually you come to the person, you say, you know what, I've changed my mind, pay me the $1,000. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that's geneva, that's theft. You're taking something that you've already given to him. You're taking it back. That's theft. You're taking something which now belongs to him. So if somebody apologizes to you, they are halachically entitled to your forgiveness. You have to forgive them if it's a genuine apology. If after you've forgiven them, you still hold a grievance, you're robbing them of the mechila that they're entitled to. It's actually theft. You're stealing something. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was big on that in looking at intangibles as assets that you can transfer and steal. And to take away somebody's right to your forgiveness is stealing from him something which he's entitled to. So when the Gemara, the Mishnah says, "Ein lo alav ela taromet," the Mishnah is saying, in this case, you're allowed to hold a grievance. You're not stealing anything from him. In this case, where you've had to give back the money when really he should have come back to you right afterwards. This is a person he saw right away, the money was damaged. He should have come right away and asked for the money back. A year later, he comes back and wants the money back. Not very nice. Give him the money back and you've got a grievance against him. You've got taromis. Okay, you've got taromis. You don't have to feel obligated to get rid of that taromis, to get rid of that grievance. So says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, you need to know when you're halachically permitted to have a grievance and when not. Because if you have a grievance when you're not permitted to have one, you're stealing something from the other person. So you have to know, in this situation you're allowed to have a grievance, in that situation you're not allowed to have a grievance. But the Gemara goes on the next page of the source sheet, the Gemara goes on with something even stranger. And says, what is that Mishnah talking about? In this case of you've got to give them, even if it's after a year, the man comes and you've got to claim the money and he claims the coin back again. You've got to give it to him, but you can have taromis, you can have agreements. Omar Rav Chisda, midat chasidut shanukan. Legally, you don't have to give it back anymore. We've discussed with Onoa how long it takes, and particularly if we're talking about a damaged money, we've said it takes as long as you have time to you go to a banker and ask him to check the money or to show it to some expert. But beyond a few days, you don't have time to still cancel the deal. It's too late. So why here can you do it after 12 months? Says Rav Chisda, midas chasidut shanukan. This is an act of chasidut. This is going beyond the requirements of the law. Legally, you don't have to. And so much of Azahav has been about this, hasn't it? How you're meant to behave when there's no contractual obligation, just an ethical obligation. So this is an ethical obligation. If you want to be a chosid, you want to be a pious person, you want to be a person of great character, give the money back. Ask the Gemara, If we're talking about a chosid, a pious person, then it says all you have is taromis. You're entitled to have a grievance. The man, ila chosid, who should have the grievance? If you're talking about the chosid, the man who's given the money back when he didn't really have to, lo kibuli lekabli mi neve lo taromet tevile. Wouldn't it be better for him, listen to this, this is such an important principle, wouldn't it be better for him not to give the money back and not to hold a grievance? To do an act of chassidut and then resent it for the rest of your life, you're not allowed to do that. Rather, don't do the act of chassidut. Yes, from an action point of view, you've paid the money back. You've done a pious thing. You've done a ma'aseh shel chassidut. You've done an act of piety. You've gone beyond the law. And you've given him back something which he's not really entitled to legally. Wonderful. You're a chosid. You're great. Now you go through the rest of life thinking, you know what? Oh, yeah, look how great I was. I gave him back money and he still accepted it from me. He shouldn't have accepted it from me. And you have this resentment. Says the Gemara, rather don't do the good deed and don't have resentment, then do the good deed and have resentment for the rest of your life. How often do we find that? People making like victims of themselves, people being all heroic and then making you remember that for the rest of your life. What they did for you, what they did for you. And you can see they resent it. So why did you do it? We're not talking about where halachically you have to do something. If halachically you owe somebody something, you have to do it, whether or not you resent it. Tough luck. But here we're talking about a midat chassidut. You don't owe it legally. From the goodness of your heart, you want to go beyond it. But you can only do that if the inner place from which you come is pure. If you're coming from an inner place of resentment, rather don't do it. Don't have somebody for dinner if you're going to resent it later on. Don't give somebody a gift if you're going to resent it later on. Don't do things for people. Don't give your time for people. If we're not talking where you're halachically required to, don't do those things if it's going to bring about resentment, because bearing the resentment is much worse than not doing the action, says the Gemara. That's amazing. Rashi has a difficulty with this. And everybody else has a difficulty with Rashi, but I don't have a difficulty with Rashi. If you understand this, and you'll see why. Rashi's difficulty is, surely doing the deed is the one thing. The feelings you can't control. Amidat chassidut, how does the Mesilas Yeshurim defines amidat chassidut, an act of piety, as going beyond the letter of the law? So he's gone beyond the letter of the law. That's an act of piety. Now he feels a little bit resentful in his heart. What can you do about that? You can't control people's feelings. No, says Rashi, there's a much bigger concern here. This is not just about feelings. Tov lo shelo yekablenu miyishakablenu. It's better not to exchange the money, not to give the money back, rather than to give the money back v'yotzi dibal chaviro. And then you're going to end up talking Lashon Hora. Everybody asks on Rashi, who's mentioned Lashon Hora? Gemara says nothing about Lashon Hora. We're talking about Taromet. We're talking about a grievance. Where does Rashi get Lashon Hora from? What Rashi's concerned about is we wouldn't say don't do the good deed because you might feel bad inside. Feel bad inside, these are things that happen all the time. We can't control your feelings. That's your business. The Torah says if you want to be a chassid, go beyond the letter of the law and give the person his money back, even though it's a year later. What's the idea of Lashon Hora, says Rashi? It's not just about a feeling. It's natural that when a person has a grievance and is full of resentment, we talk about it. That's not something we keep to ourselves. We talk about it. And that is a terrible thing. That could bring a person to Lashon Hara, that could bring you to talking about the other person. Rather, don't give the money. It's much worse to talk about the other person than to not give him the money, which you're not even contractually required to give him. Take steps not to get yourself into a state of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hora is a funny thing. It just slips out of the mouth. Don't put yourself in a situation. Be careful not to put yourself into a situation of resentment, which could easily lead you to Lashon Hara. These are the levels of care, of mastery, of mindfulness, of self-awareness that the Torah requires of us. And the Mesilas Yeshurim explains what the essence of chassidut is. And he says, "Klalo shel davar ben kol mishahava b'nehem azar b'emet." If there are two people who have great love between each other, shelo yomar lo nitzdaviti yoter. You don't say, I did what she asked me to do. Yeah, but you didn't really finish the job. She didn't ask me to finish the job. She just asked me to do this. If you really love the other person, you understand what's bothering them. and you solve the root. You don't just do the superficial thing. Person says, a man's wife or a woman's husband says something, think carefully about it. Figure out what is really upsetting her and fix what's really upsetting her. Not just the other. If she says, you know what, you never take the garbage out of the kitchen. Okay, so you take the garbage out. That's not what she's really saying. She's really saying you don't care about helping. You don't play your part. You don't support me in what. It's much more than that. So understand what she's saying and fix it at the core. Lo dai b'mashin itztavi tibeferish, elo b'mashin itztavi yadun al dat hametzave v'yishtadel lasot lo mashi yuchal ladun shiye lo nachat. Do what will give the other person pleasure. So it is with Hashem. Do what you think will give Hashem pleasure. It doesn't give Hashem pleasure that you paid the money and you walk around with resentment and talk Lashon Hara for the rest of the time. That doesn't give Hashem pleasure. That's not a midas chasidus. So what kind of a chassid are you? You're not a chassid at all. So why give the money back then? Rather, don't give the money back and don't have resentment. That's far better. The reason why, I said to you, clearly there's a reason why the term Edvori came to me this morning, the Chovas Halvovas came to me this morning, the Rebitzel of Peterburg came to me. It all came at the same time to explain this piece of Gemara. And the three things came from all sorts of different directions. So I think I have a message for two people who, in Mirat Hashem, will listen to the shiur. It's a message for everybody, but for them specifically. I've just finished mediating between two individuals. Each individual feels enormously wronged and damaged by the other. And each individual is sure that they have not done any wrong and damage. That's often the case. As the mediator in between, I can see into the hearts of each one of them. And last night they came to a settlement, they came to an agreement. The one party is paying a lot of money to appease the other party. And he feels he shouldn't have to pay a penny. Legally, he doesn't have to pay a penny. The other party feels if he pursued the legal case, he would get much more than he's accepted now. And he's willing to accept the smaller amount in his mind. So each one is potentially resentful. The danger is, in a case like this, that we stop at the deal. And the one person says, look, I'm a tzaddik. To get rid of it, I've paid him even though I don't believe I owe him a penny. And the other person says, you know what, even though I believe I'm owed a lot more, I'm accepting this because I want this to be over and I want there to be shop. But what I appeal to each of you is not to leave it there. Now you've got to go a step further. You each have to apologize to the other. There's got to be tshuva. I know that you've each caused the other a lot of pain and suffering. I know each of you don't think you've caused that. You think you're the victim of the pain and suffering, and you are. But you've also been the cause of pain and suffering. And therefore, each of you owe the other one a sincere apology, real teshuvah. I'm sorry for anything I did that caused you pain and suffering. That was not my intention. That being done, make sure that you let go of the taromet. It's no big deal. You've made a deal and you've paid and you've accepted and you've both gone beyond the letter of the law. That's nice. But then to walk around for the rest of your lives resenting one another, that we're not allowed to do. You've got to be able to get beyond that. And you've got to, just as Hashem accepts our tshuva and accepts that we've apologized and we're even greater than we were before. After you've each apologized to each other, make sure that you're able to let go. And that you're able to rid yourself of any tarumet. Because as Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, you don't have a right to the grievance anymore. It's been settled. There's been payment. There's been apology. You don't have a right to have a grievance anymore. And by having a grievance, you're robbing the other person of forgiveness. Don't be in that phase, particularly now before Yom Tov. Don't go into Yom Tov with that on your shoulders. And as Rashi says, there's the chashash of Lashon Hara. If you do walk around with a grievance, at some point, at some dinner over Yom Tov, you're going to say something, comment something. Don't go there. Don't be at that risk of Lashon Hara. And allow yourselves to let go not only of the money you've paid or you believe you could have been paid, but to let go of any kind of grievance and anger and resentment that you're entitled, that you had. But once there's been a settlement, once there's been agreement, and hopefully a request for mechila, a request for apology, and hopefully once that is done, to be able to leave this alone and leave this go and to live without carrying out the without carrying the negativity and the poison in one's heart. And so it is with all of us. There are times all the time, if we're in business and day-to-day life, times all the time where you think you were entitled to something, where you think you deserved something, or you think you were forced to give something that the other person didn't deserve. It's okay. Get over it. Move on. Because there's no point in carrying that stuff around. And understand there are times when the Chazal tell us, "Ein ra'lav ela taromet." There are times when you're allowed to have taromet. But in most of these occasions, you're not permitted to have taromet. You're not even permitted to have grievances. And Hashem and the Torah knows we're strong enough, we're great enough as human beings to master our feelings and to be able to remove those grievances from our hearts.